Well, Simon, this has been a kind of a hard lesson in some way, don't you think?
That's right, especially if you're a leader and you're used to doing things the way you like to do them, because we've been talking about changes in the workplace and changes in the way we lead different people.
That's right, and I think today we're going to transition into talking more about team members and dealing specifically with difficult team members and the kind of skills that you need in order to work better.
Well, we did talk about, you know, the different types of people that were born at different times, the millennials and the boomers. But actually, no matter when you're born, there are some people in the office, no matter how old they are, that can seem kind of hard to get along with.
That's right. So good managers have to be very adaptable, able to change very quickly to deal with different people, and they also need different kinds of skills. So today we're going to talk about that by using this question and answer format. Sometimes it's called Q&A, and that's actually the title of this mini article within our Leadership in the Workplace article. And you can find that on page 29 of your Advanced magazine for May.
Okay, and I think the question first and then the answer, but let's just do the first column and the last column that we have on page 29. Should we read that first?
Let's do it.
Q&A, dealing with team members. Question. I've had a new team member transferred to my group. He has been in the company many years and has valuable knowledge and experience. He also has a reputation for being very difficult to work with. I would like to help him become a better partner with his colleagues. How should I handle this? Answer. Let go of the past and see what you can accomplish if you try giving him a clean slate. Too often, problem employees are passed around within companies, transferring the issues without actually addressing them. These employees are often genuinely surprised to find out that there are issues with their behavior. In these cases, while employees still bear some responsibility for their behavior, more culpability lies within inept leadership.
So today's lesson follows a Q&A format. Q&A, of course, means question and answer. And we get from the little title here that the question today is about how to deal with team members. And you can see at the very beginning there on line 13, a giant Q. So this is our question. And the question is, I've had a new team member transfer to my group. And that first sentence tells us that the person who is asking this question is actually a leader.
Right. And so we're going to be looking at team dynamics, how the leader will address this, you know, potentially kind of a difficult person to work with, as well as kind of their role with the new leader and being a part of a new team.
So he's explaining then at the very beginning what kind of a person this is. It's not a new person in the company. It's somebody that's been there a long time.
That's right. And so it's an experienced worker, and actually there are a lot of good things about this worker. Our leader, who's asking the question, mentions specifically the person has a lot of valuable knowledge and experience. So they know what they're doing. They're a competent professional.
I think it's also important to note that this question, I think, shows real maturity in simply asking, hey, how can I handle this better? If you're in a position dealing with a difficult, if you find yourself in a difficult situation, look for those resources that are out there. Open your advanced magazines. Whatever the case may be, go find someone to talk to about and just try to figure out, do the research and just ask those questions. How can you be the best leader?
Well, you know, if you find somebody like this, though, he's been with the company for a long time, and he knows his job very well, those kind of people are really hard to deal with because they've been there. They're not new. You can't say, well, he doesn't know yet. He knows his job, so it's going to be a difficult thing to answer, I think.
Well, that's right. And our question continues by explaining that not everything is great about this worker, in particular, They say the worker has a reputation for being very difficult to work with. And that phrase, has a reputation for something, that's actually a pretty common way of describing the way other people talk about a person, right?
That's right. When you consider someone's reputation, often it just comes off from like their basic attitude or kind of the character they bring in with them in the workplace. And so you can build up a reputation. Everyone has a reputation in the office.
Well, you know, sometimes if people are hard to get along with, everybody says, I wish they'd quit. I wish they'd fire him. And they want to get rid of people like that. But that's not the case of this person. He has a very good attitude about it.
Well, that's right. And that, I suppose, Zach, you mentioned that this person sort of sounds like they're a fairly mature thinking leader. And I think this is more evidence of that, because sometimes we want to do the thing that's easiest or the thing that is most comfortable for us, but that isn't always what's best for the team or what's best for the company, especially when it means getting rid of someone who's a little difficult, but they're a valuable worker.
Right. And immediately it says that they say to let go of the past, and that's not an easy thing to do, but to kind of put the reputation on the side and say, well, I'm going to give this person a clean slate. A clean slate being a fresh start, kind of forgetting what's in the past and considering, hey, I'm going to give this person a fresh start, look past a lot of their flaws or the things that they've been labeled from other workers in the past.
Well, the question was, This person says, I want to help him become a better partner, so how should I handle it? Now, he isn't the one that gave the answer. He had the question.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
But then the person that's answering him, he's the one that told him this.
Right.
So the question was, what can I do with him? And then came this one answer. Right.
Yeah, he said, well, I think it's a she, because this article is written by a person named Liz Rayer. So she answers this question by saying, let go of the past. And that's actually connected to that phrase Zach just used, a clean slate. So she says, let go of the past and see what you can accomplish if you try giving him a clean slate. And so when you let go of the past, really what that means is you move beyond the past. It doesn't mean you don't remember it, you don't know what happened in the past, but it does mean you don't let it affect what's happening to you now in the future.
A clean slate reminds me like of a classroom. A teacher writes all these things on the board, here's your assignment and everything, and then when they erase it, that's gone. And it's not there anymore. So the slate is like we have in a classroom. We write on a chalkboard, isn't it?
That's right. And especially when you're teaching younger students, people like teachers, often keep a list down the side of the board, you know, giving points to students for doing good things. Or if they've done something wrong, maybe they lose a point or lose a star. And so it's a record of their performance through that class. But when you come into a new class on a new day, you don't want that old record following a student around, and so you clean the blackboard.
Yeah, that's a really good image, both Doris and Simon. I often think of a clean slate coming at the turn of a new season, right? We've talked about maybe it's a new school year, or you're starting a new job, or you've just become a part of a new team. And so you need that, we all need that clean slate.
Well, in fact, this is good for offices, but I was just thinking about so many family problems, and people blame their husband or their wife, and they say, oh, don't do that again, and you got to give your husband or wife a clean slate. I think this works for everybody, not just in the office, doesn't it?
It definitely does. And I guess the next part of advice that we're given as an answer actually describes a problem that's fairly common in different offices. Liz Rayer, the writer, says, too often problem employees are passed around within companies. And so when you pass something around, basically it means you're giving it from one department or one person to another person, and you're just moving this person around rather than dealing with the problem. And she continues to say, transferring the issues without actually addressing them. So basically what she's describing is if you have a person that's difficult to work with or that has some work problems, it might be difficult to get rid of them. So rather than dealing with the problem and fixing it or getting rid of the person, you just kind of move them to some other department so that the difficult situation becomes someone else's problem.
But they don't seem to know about it. They seem to be genuinely surprised. If you say, well, people find you hard to work with. Who, me? Not me. You know, they don't realize it themselves. It's strange, but they just think that they need them in other departments, so they don't know it.
And that's the problem with reputation, right? In mm-hmm. some situations, we're very sensitive about what our reputations are, and we know how people think about us. We know, you know, how we're being perceived. But other times we really have no idea. And that, I think, is especially true when you're talking about kind of different cultures. And that, I guess, connects today's article very much with what we've been talking about the last few days. In the last few days, we were talking about different generations trying to relate to each other. And, you know, this is an older worker who's been in the company for a long time, and maybe they're not fully aware of how people think about them.
Well, you notice here that it says that the employees themselves, they really should be responsible for their behavior. They should respond in some ways, but more of the blame, the culpability here just means more blame lies with the inept or not very good leadership. So the blame actually goes more on the leadership than it does on the person.
Well, especially if leaders are passing around a problem situation rather than dealing with it, right? I mean, that is kind of a leadership issue. But our writer did go on to say that these employees, and by these employees, she means employees that are having trouble relating to others or employees that have poor reputations, are often genuinely surprised to find out that there are issues with their behavior. And when you're genuinely something, it basically means you're really honestly surprised.
And well, and that makes sense in this scenario. If the leadership, here we're talking about inept leadership, not skilled, not able to handle or address the problem specifically, but rather just transfer that worker around, well, they would be genuinely surprised because no one's addressed it.
So it's partly their fault too.
Sure. Absolutely.
Well, I guess the way to think about it is that you kind of get different types of problem employees. Some mm-hmm. of them really just don't know they're being problem employees. Mm-hmm. Like, they think they're doing the right mm-hmm. thing. And if you treat all problems the same way and just try to move them on or get rid of them, then you really kind of make the situation harder for yourself. Because if there is a quick way to fix the situation by just saying to the person, hey, I don't know if you knew this, but this is a real problem. Like, maybe we can work on this. You might find that that problem employee becomes a really great employee, because they really want to be part of the team and they want to do a good job.
Sounds like you're doing what the next paragraph's going to tell us about.
Well, I hope so, because that's good advice, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's read on. Let's turn the page and read down to the next section.
All right. Let's turn to page 30.
It's likely that his past managers didn't create clear expectations about the positive behaviors they wanted to see. This is especially likely in the interpersonal realm. Often expectations are set around work tasks rather than the soft skills needed to be a good team member. Identify positive expectations. Be specific, preparing descriptive examples to help him understand your vision. Have examples for behaviors that you won't tolerate. Then set up an initial discussion with him. Share your expectations, but also get his perspectives. What does he think his strengths are? His weaknesses? What are his hopes in working on your team? Establish some shared goals for him in his new role.
Well, actually, in the past, the managers in this company didn't really let that person know. They didn't create clear expectations about the kind of behaviors they wanted. They talked about the results they wanted in the company, the sales, all of the benefits, but they didn't talk about the teamwork. And teamwork is something that's very difficult for people nowadays. They didn't say, do a good job. They said, work well with others. They didn't really come through on that.
Well, yeah, you're right. And it's interesting they use this word here, realm. And a realm really kind of means kingdom or area where things are happening, right? And they use the term when they're in connection with the word interpersonal realm. So they're saying that when you deal with other people, that's part of your work. But that isn't part of your work that companies always think about too much.
Right, that's true, right? So I think this is very important to realize that you have to identify these positive expectations. What do they really mean?
Well, and I'm so glad they mentioned expectations, because expectations really is key. Earlier, Doris, you mentioned marriage. Even in marriage, we have to, give our spouse a clean slate. But often, I think, too, you have to have the right expectations.
Mm-hmm.
It's so, so important.
Well, and with work, usually when you think about the kinds of expectations you get, I mean, Doris, you mentioned this too, companies are usually concerned with how much you've sold of something or how much you've produced, how many hours you've worked, but none of those things fit within that interpersonal realm while you're dealing with other people. Those are all just kind of numbers and efficiency and what they call here work task, I guess, related stuff. But none of those things deal with working with your teammates.
Well, it'd be kind of hard to have examples, but you have to show them what kind of behaviors you won't put up with, you won't tolerate. Now, if you just try to do everything yourself and don't work with somebody else, you're not going to get along here. They don't say that.
Well, that's right. And there's all kinds of examples where you could see how trying to improve your own results on your work tasks might lead to trouble within the group. For example, if you have salespeople, maybe one of the salespeople sort of steals a customer from another salesperson. So that is a good thing for the salesperson who steals the customer, but it's not really a good thing for the company, right? And so that's an example of a behavior that if you allow it to go on over time, it will destroy the worker's reputation, but it will also have a really negative impact on the company itself.
Well, there's other things you could do, too. You could say, well, you have the resources in your office, and you say, well, these are for me to use, not the other people, and mm-hmm. you have to share the things, the facilities, and you have to kind of have more teamwork feeling.
Yep. These are good, specific, positive expectations, and I think that it kind of builds that vision for the whole team rather than just the individual, because you can't underestimate how much of all work tasks really are people oriented, right? When you go into your office every day, it's people, right? These interpersonal skills, you're always kind of in that interpersonal realm. And those soft skills, right? The article mentioned soft skills, just that ability to work well with others. They're important. So if you're a young worker, invest in developing your soft skills.
So there's something that you have to do, which is not easy. It says here in line 11, you have to set up an initial discussion. This is the first time we're going to talk about this. And then you tell them what you expect of them and say, what do you think? Do you think you're getting along well with the other people? But you also say, well, what do you think your strengths are? How do you think you're helping this company? And you try to build him up a little bit. But do you have any problems? Do you feel there's things you're not very good at? So you try to do kind of a little psychology thing with him, don't you?
That's right. So if we break this down into suggestions or steps, the first one is to share your expectations. That's your expectations as the manager. So what you're looking for, what you want the person to be doing. But then you also want to, number two, get that person's perspective. So you want to know how they feel about the situation. Maybe they feel like they're also being treated badly, or something has happened that you don't know about. So you want their perspective. And then you mentioned you want to find out what the person's strengths and weaknesses are. And they add to that hopes on working on the team. Like, what are you looking for on this team?
Simon, have you ever talked to people, though, and then you say, what are your strengths? And usually they kind of know, you know, what they're good at. But, and then you say your weaknesses. Is it easy to know what your weaknesses are for them to tell other people?
You know, they're very difficult questions to deal with an employee, because often people, the things they believe are their strengths aren't necessarily the same strengths you see in them. And so a lot of that comes from the way we're educated, I think, in schools. I actually remember being told to prepare for this sort of question in job interviews, right? Mm-hmm. And they give you sort of strategy advice. So, for example, people would say, when you're asked what your strengths are, you should say the strengths you feel you have that they are looking for in the job.
And instead of just saying, well, I work hard and, I'm on time, that's not enough, right?
Well, that's right. They wanted things specific for the job. But the problem then is if you really just need a job, you're not going to be completely honest or truthfully represent what your real strengths are. And in the same way, they used to say when you are asked what your weaknesses are, you should try to make them kind of positive. Like you should say things like, I work really diligently and I have a hard time working with people who don't work as diligently. You know, so even your weaknesses make you sound good. And so, things like that, sometimes there's just not too much truthfulness in all of those answers.
Well,
and
it's hard to say your weaknesses to other people.
That's right. It's a hard thing to say, especially when you're talking to your boss, right? And you've got your job.
But I think the important thing is that you are talking. You are talking to your boss. This discussion was set up and there's a dialogue between both your boss and you. And so I think that is just a mark of a good, healthy working environment. If there can be this honest and open discussion of expectations and hopes.
Well, I think this next thing here in line 14, he says, what are his hopes of working on your team and, mm-hmm. and establish some goals and things like that? So I think the point is that we have to let people realize that it's a team. That's what you want to get him to realize. It's not just what you do, but it's what we do together. And this teamwork is not easy to establish.
Yeah. And the phrase they use for the goals too is also important because it shows that you're having a conversation with the person you're setting shared goals. So that isn't just you giving the worker goals. It's the two of you discussing what goals.
That's true. Yeah. Well, let's read on because there's more to find out here. Let's read the rest of this article.
If you have concerns as a result of this initial discussion, you owe it to him to be candid about it. If he is finger-pointing at people, dismissive of others, or resistant to your point of view, identify this immediately and call him on it. But don't just call him out when he doesn't meet expectations. It's equally important to notice when he is interacting in ways that build positive relationships. He will then know what's working and will be pleased that you noticed.
So now that you've had your initial discussion with this worker who has a reputation for being a bit of a problem, you have to think about what's going on. It says here, if you have concerns as a result of this initial discussion, which means if the discussion goes very well, don't worry about it. Just move forward. But if you have a discussion and you feel like this person is kind of difficult, maybe they're not willing to set shared goals and things like that, then you owe something to the person.
That's right. You have to be, it says, candid, right?
Honest, right?
Honest, straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't sound very easy.
No.
No, especially if you're not very confrontational. You're not good at confronting people with difficult things, right?
Well, but sometimes, you know, when you talk to people like that, immediately they say, well, it's not me, it's them. It's the way they do it. And it's really that people won't listen to me. And so when they're like that, then you have to point it out to them. And if they have that kind of an attitude, it's not easy to talk to them.
That's right. And they actually mention that with this phrase in the next sentence. They say, if he is finger pointing at people, and that's just what you said, where he's blaming other people, like it wasn't my fault. It was because, you know, my
they're
team
not, nice to
not
me.
Taking responsibility.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then you have to be candid about that, and you have to point that out. Another example of a thing the person might do is they might be dismissive of others, which means they are saying others don't matter or others don't count.
So kind of maybe a false sense of pride, right, and where they fit in with the team or not giving credit where credit is due with the other team members. But you have to identify it and call him on it. Right?
Yeah.
It sounds like a very candid
term.
Tell
us that the way it is.
Yeah.
Oh, boy,
right.
That's not easy, though.
Yeah. When someone is dismissive of others, they might say things like, for example, yeah, I'm sure they think I'm difficult, but that's because they're not very good at their jobs and they're jealous of me. Right? Something like that. So mm-hmm. you're basically saying their opinions don't count. And then, like you said, the third one was resistant to your point of view. So you as a manager, they're kind of ignoring what you're saying about their goals. And so then you said, identify this immediately and call him on it. So when you call someone on something, it just means you don't let them get away with it. You say to them, you know, you can't blame others here. Don't dismiss others.
Maybe you're the problem, right? But, you know, the last paragraph says, don't just call him out and say, well, you're not really meeting the kind of expectations we have for you. You're not the kind of staff member we want. You're not telling him specifically. You're just saying, you're not making it here. And that's not fair. You got to really get to the point and tell him.
That's right. So they're saying, don't just call him out when he doesn't meet expectations. So get the person in trouble every time they do something bad. Instead, they say it's equally important to notice when he is interacting in ways that build positive relationships. So notice when the person is doing something good and comment on it and let them know that you know they're trying.
That's a happy ending.
Yep. And it sounds like this is applying what the article had talked about earlier. Address the issues. Don't just pass them off. Address it. And I think here this is a good example of even the leadership having their own set of soft skills and intrapersonal, in that interpersonal realm of the workplace, right? You've got to know how to say, hey, here's what you're doing that's hurting the team. Here's what you're doing that's helping the team.
And if it really helps him, and that can happen, don't think it can't, then he'll know that and he'll be pleased. He'll say, thank you for helping me. I didn't realize that, and I'm not going to do that anymore. And that is a happy ending.
That is a happy ending.
And I think it's time to end the program.
That's
but
it.
It's been an interesting discussion. But be kind, be polite, but be direct and candid with people. And let's hope that you have better teamwork in your company. Do it with your family, with your friends, and listen in every day to learn new things here in Advanced. Right?
That's right.
That's right.
See you next time.
Goodbye,
everyone.